Africa is in my hair, and in my feet, in my body. I'm African woman. All that we have is music. The pyramid is the greatest house on the planet Earth. My ancestors are great. God was also female, not only male, right? It's the best thing to be.
You're listening to Frequency Feminisms. My name is Murphy Brown, and with me is Joita.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joita, also a member of the Frequency Feminisms Collective.
And there's also Oriel Varga, who is on the line with
Anna. Hey, Anna, you there with us?
All right. Okay, so we're alive and rolling. Oriel and Joita are going to talk about what frequency feminism is all about and what the loss of the program has meant.
So frequency feminism is a vibrant group of women. We push the envelope, we resist. We're an eclectic voice of women resisting, challenging, and questioning. We talked about the intersections of feminism, racism, and gender identity in the multifaceted ways in which identity is constructed. Frequency feminisms, there's more than one kind of feminism, and that's what we try to talk about. What does feminism mean for women of color? What does feminism mean for poor women? What does feminism mean for women with disabilities? What does it mean for queer women? That was what Frequency Feminisms attempted to talk about in the year that we were on air. I just want to point out that there's been a long history of feminist radio at CKLN. Before Frequency Feminisms, there was Radioactive Feminisms, and I think at this point it's a great opportunity to turn things over to Oriel, who's going to talk about the loss of feminist radio and what that's meant for the community.
Well, you all have heard already about the lockout. This has been a really serious matter for a lot of programmers, and today we're celebrating because we've heard the voices of the programmers. And our collective has basically been 12 wonderful women. We've brought issues, many different issues on air. And we have Anna joining us from Detroit. She's gonna say a few words as well. Anna, are you there?
Yes, I am here, and it's so wonderful to hear your voice, ladies, and inspiring. I think this is what radio, to me, radio is all about. It's about bringing women from all different walks of life, and as Joita was saying, exploring what feminism means to women of color, to women who experience disability issues and poverty. And we've brought you programming, we've brought you interviews with Selma James, everyone from Selma James to legendary feminist women of color thinker, to M1 from Dead Prez, to Bomba from Droppin' Dimes, and we really look forward to the day when we get back on air so that we can continue bringing this amazing programming to the community.
Today we have an interview with Tesna, who's part of the IWD migrant worker section of the march and has brought together a large number of different community feminist groups and migrant worker groups. She's going to be joining us in a moment, but we actually did do interviews with a lot of different groups, and we would have loved to have brought them on air. Unfortunately, because we have a very short period of time, we only have Tesna, who will give us a few minutes of her time and to tell us how the organizing happened and some of the key issues.
Hi everybody, I'm Sasna. I am an organizer for Justicia for Migrant Workers, and last year, working with Migrante Ontario, which is a Filipino group, we decided that migrant women should have more visibility, and so we created the Migrant Women's Coordinating Body. And we had a contingent go on the march last year and this year. We invited and marched with Canadian Heart, which is a Tamil Toronto-based group. No One Is Illegal, the Ryerson's Women's Center, and some other groups that marched with us. And we discussed issues such as war and occupation and violence against women in wars, and also labor issues and labor disparities in wages and also in access to labor. And then we had an event on Sunday the 8th about our issues, and it was about sharing organizing strategies so that we could know how to work with the community better, learning from other groups.
Sasna, what were the similarities with the groups? Because I know that there were several different groups. What did you find that was similar between some of the groups?
Okay, so some of the issues that are similar, I guess, the Filipino living caregivers and the migrant farm workers that we work with have pretty much the same issues in relation to status, to access to healthcare, and in the access or lack thereof of immigration incentives. So we could share a lot of that with the Filipino women that assisted to the event. And then I guess Canadian Heart and No One Is Illegal shared a lot in terms of refugees and sexual violence on women through war and occupation as well.
A lot of people probably don't realize that even when friendly troops or peacekeepers, as they're called, go into these war zones, that women are sexually assaulted by these so-called saviors. Could you comment on that?
Indeed, one of the, I guess, biggest issues that Canadian Heart brought forward was that the sexual violence against women in Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And in our event, they had a beautiful contemporary piece of dance representing, I guess, sexual violence. And they talked a bit about the history of oppression and colonialism that translated into sexual violence against Tamil women in Sri Lanka.
Could you speak about the group that works to represent and to support women who come here, especially from the Philippines, as domestic workers?
Migrante Ontario would be that group. They're I guess, a conglomerate of different progressive Philippine organizations, mm-hmm. But they work a lot with the LCP, the Living Caregiver Program, and what they're trying to do is, I guess, reform the program so that conditions are a bit better for women that come here as living caregivers and have very little access to immigration and have to face a lot of different types of discrimination because of their gender, because of health issues, and because of their origin, mm-hmm. Because of race. So Migrante Ontario actually was just holding a vigil for Juana Tejada, mm-hmm. May she rest in peace. Mm-hmm. So we talked a little bit about her and the Juana Tejada law as well in our event on Sunday.
Okay. Can you talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell? How is that working? Is it of any value to the community of women who come here and probably find themselves without status?
So No One Is Illegal works mostly with refugees, and they're pushing a Don't Ask, Don't Tell campaign because very often women have sexual harassment or sexual violence issues that they want to report, but they're afraid because they might be non-status immigrants, and the government doesn't have an official Don't Ask, Don't Tell campaign. So sometimes they will get deported when reporting crimes related to sexual harassment or sexual violence. They even told us some horror stories, I guess, about times when they would have their hearings for one of those claims. Mm-hmm. On the same day as their immigration hearing. So stuff like that is what they're pushing for in No One Is Illegal.
How does this affect the children? You mentioned that some of the women are deported if they have children who were born in Canada. How does that affect the relationship with the children? Because I know that there's some controversy around that.
I guess when they're reported, deported and they have to go back, well, there's no option for the children. But I know that they're also pushing this campaign in schools. Mm-hmm. And they're pushing for every kid, no matter their status in Canada, to be able to receive education. And they also told us some horror stories of kids that were deported and even dragged out of their school because of status issues.
Sasna, thank you so much. We really appreciate that you came down here to speak with us tonight. You're listening to Frequency Feminism.
No problem.
Thank you. We're going to go to a CD with a performance by one of our members, Jin Wong.
Your Money by Jin Wong, one of our very talented members from the Frequency Feminisms Collective. I want to wrap up now by just pointing out that tonight has been a celebration. It's been an opportunity. It's been a turning point. It's a time for us to question what has been, but it's a time for us to map out the road ahead. The programmers, the staff that were wrongfully dismissed at CKLN need to be reinstated. We should get our shows back. That is what tonight is all about. So in closing, feminists out at Frequency Feminism just want to thank everybody for tuning in. We want to thank the programmers and our community allies who have supported us consistently for the last year. And we want to say, keep organizing, keep pushing the envelope, keep moving forward. We can and we will make a difference. Three cheers for community radio, three cheers for community that never tires of resistance, and three cheers for women-powered radio. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Good night.
Radio. On March 11th, join the Locked Out Women programmers of CKLN FM in Toronto for a 5-hour national radio direct action.
Tune in at www.rmr.fm from 5 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen to the voices and stories of queer women, women of color, social activist women, and women living in the margins who are challenging oppression in all of its forms as we reclaim the airwaves.
Marking International Women's
Women's Day, Locked Out Women hosts and DJs of CKLN will stream to the internet in the Imperial Pub in downtown Toronto for a five-hour national broadcast on March 11th. Listen at www.rmr.fm
and be part of this landmark event in community-powered grassroots media.
For more information and for a list of campus community radios across Canada that will be carrying our signal, visit takebackourradio.blogspot.com.
This IWD, take back, tune in, and reclaim.